Turn with me tonight, if you would, in your Bibles, to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Genesis, chapter 32 tonight, verse number 1. Genesis, chapter number 32. Give me a second to get there. There we are. As we study through the book of Genesis, if you've ever read through the book of Genesis, it's loaded, of course, with all kinds of truths, and it helps us to understand some of the things that goes on in the Old Testament. It helps us to understand the plan of God and the purpose of God. And as we study through the New Testament, we have to have an understanding of the Old Testament, or the New Testament is not going to make a lick of sense to us. Amen? And as we study through the Old Testament, there's a lot of things that we can apply, a lot of things by application we can apply to the church, but primarily the Old Testament was dealing with Israel. And dealing with the covenant that God made with Abraham and the covenant that God made with David. And so as we study through those covenants, those promises that God made, and get an understanding of those things, and then we can understand things that takes place in the latter part of the Bible, through the church age, through the tribulation period, through the millennium age, and all those things that take place. So all the Bible is fitly framed together, amen, because God did that, and only God could do that. But as we read about the account of Jacob, and study through the verses of Scripture from chapter 28, 25 through 32, 33, and read all these chapters, we find a lot of things about Jacob's life. One of the things that stands out to me is some of the situations in Jacob's life. One, that we know in Jacob's life, he stole some things from his brother. As you study through the life of Jacob, you know that he stole the birthright from his brother Esau. And if you've ever been in Sunday school, you've ever been in church, you've probably heard that taught or heard that preached on, how that Jacob had stole that from his brother. And then we also find that Jacob not only stole the birthright from his brother, but he also stole the blessing from Esau. He tricked his father into thinking that he was the older son, that he was Esau, and he went in and brought venison unto him. You remember the account how Isaac said to go fetch me some venison. That's how we know deer hunting's biblical. Amen? Whoop! Amen right there. It's found in the book of Genesis in the very beginning. They was hunting venison. But anyway, the Bible says that Isaac told his son to go get him, fetch him some venison. And we know that Jacob had listened to his mother and brought some goat meat in there. So I guess, according to biblically, that goat meat and venison taste about the same. But he brought some meat in there for his father, and he stole the blessing from his brother. And so as we study, we find some things about Jacob, and we find that, as I said, he stole his brother's birthright, he stole his brother's blessing. And then he leaves from his hometown, the land that he's in. He's instructed to leave there to go find a wife. And everybody knows the account of Jacob, how he goes out and to find a wife. And he finds the beautiful Rachel there by the well, and how she came out and she's going to water the flocks, the sheep and the herds and all that. She's going to water. So she's out by the well, and she comes out, and he falls in love. Love at first sight. Amen. He's in love with her, and he wants to marry her. Goes to her dad and asks him, and he says, well, you got to work for me 7 years to get my daughter. Works those 7 years, and after 7 years, he gives him Leah instead of Rachel. Y'all with me? Everybody remember that account in the Scripture? And so there he's worked 7 years. He's got to work 7 more years because he got the wrong daughter. He was lied to, and he gets the wrong daughter. So he gets Leah, who's not pleasant to look upon, the Bible says. He wasn't as pretty as Rachel was. So he works another 7 years to get Rachel. And he finally gets Rachel, and they begin to have children, but Rachel's barren. And the account goes on through there. I'm not going to get into all that. But then we find he works another 6 years for cattle. And so he's worked 20 years trying to gain some things in life. Amen. A wife to be one of those and some children. And he left his home, amen, left the land that he was in to go out and find him a wife. And after all these 20 years and all these things he's gathered, now the Lord speaks to him in a dream, in a vision, and tells him to go back home, go back to your land. It's time for you to go back. And the first thing that hits Jacob's mind is all those sins that he committed before he left home. He begins to think about his brother Esau and how's he going to feel whenever he comes on the scene. Whenever he comes back, what's going to be the first thing that he thinks, what's going to be on his mind when he comes back. Let me read you some scripture real quickly. Genesis 31, verse 41. The Bible says, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I have served thee 14 years for thy $2 and 6 years for cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. And so we find here that Jacob is letting Laban know that he's leaving. He's going away from there. He's leaving there. In verse 32, chapter 32, verse number 1, and Jacob went on his way, and he's leaving the place. Verse 55 of chapter 31, early in the morning, Laban rose up, kissed his sons and his daughters, and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned to his place. And Jacob, chapter 32, verse 1, went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him." That doesn't sound good, does it? Jacob is now, he's thinking about all the things that he's done in his past, and he's thinking about having to go back home and to be in the same land with his brother. And he sends a word to his brother that, "I have all these servants, I have all these cattle, I have all these things that I can give you." And then the word comes back, the messengers come back and tell Jacob that Esau is coming to meet him, and he's bringing 400 men with him. Now, if you had been bad and been wrong to your brother, and you had treated him like Jacob treated his brother, no doubt in your mind, you're thinking, "Oh my, this ain't going to be pretty." Amen. This ain't going to be a good thing. The situation sounds terrible. And he's even offered gifts to his brother to kind of calm him down, if you would, so he would accept him in. One of the things that we find in the Christian life is a lot of times we make out things worse than what they really are. Amen. Sometimes we let our mind run away with us and we think things are worse than what they really are. Or a lot of times we know that a situation is bad at the beginning, and we fear what the results will be before we ever take that thing to the Lord. We've already convinced ourselves it's going to be terrible. It's going to be a bad result. It's going to end wrong. And that's where Jacob's at. He's in his mind now. He's thinking that this is going to be a terrible thing. Verse 7, the Bible says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." Now Jacob had a plan. "I'm going to divide up this group, and they're going to go this direction, the other group's going to go this way, and if Esau comes and attack one band, then maybe the other band can get away." He's got a plan. Hey man, notice now, he hasn't prayed about this. He's devising this among himself. He's a thinker within himself, some things that he can do. A lot of times, if we think within ourselves, we'll get ourselves in trouble. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 9, Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return into thy country, into thy kindred, and I would deal well with thee." Did we get that? That's Jacob's prayer. He's talking to the Lord. The Lord is the one that told him to go back. I can promise you tonight, if God tells you to do something, God's in it. You just be obedient. God will take care of the rest. Amen. That's good preaching right there. That's Bible. And I'll prove it to you if you'll just hang with me. Jacob said in verse number 9, Jacob said, "O God, my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country, unto thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Am I not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant? For with my staff I have passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau's brother. Notice we in verse number 12 that we find that Jacob here is reminding God what God had said. "Thou hast said us, I will surely do thee good." You think God forgot about that? I don't think so. I think it's a fear on Jacob's part. I think it's like a faith on Jacob's part to just trust in the Lord. So Jacob is made out of flesh and bone like everybody else. Amen. He's just like we are. He's made out of the same thing we're made out of.
And he has the same kind of heart like we do. Sometimes we get fearful of things. We think the worst of things. But then he took it to the Lord in prayer and said to the Lord, "Thou hast told me to do this, and I'm just trying to do what you told me to do. Remember, you said that you would do good to me and to my seed. They would make the seed of the sand, make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And then the Bible says that he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau's brother, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, and 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 fowls. And he delivered him into the hand of thy servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto thy servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also he is behind us." And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him." Jacob is trying to handle this situation on his own. He's trying to deal with this thing in his way and not God's way. God said, "Go back, amen, to your land and I'll take care of the rest. Amen. I'll bless thee and bless your folks. I'll bless your people. I'll bless all the things that you have." But now Jacob is trying to take care of this situation himself. He reminds the Lord again in verse number 12 of what God had promised him. Let me say to us all tonight, God cares for his people. Amen. God cares about you. God cares about me. God cares about every born again child of God. He cares about us. And if God tells us to do something, all we have to do is just be obedient and do what he said. He'll take care of the rest. Amen. Quit trying to figure it out. A lot of things that we do in this life, as far as a Christian is concerned, as a believer, a lot of things go beyond reason. And many times we sit and try to reason this thing out. That's what Jacob's doing. He's trying to reason it out. He's trying to figure it out. There's the best plan. This is the best thing to do. Well, the best thing to do is just be obedient to God and let God take care of it. Amen. Let me just put a little plug in right there for this next generation that's coming up, the future of America. Just let God take care of it. Amen. Just be obedient to the Word. Be obedient to the Lord. Be faithful to the house of God. Be obedient in your prayer life. Be obedient in your Bible reading. And just let God take care of it. Stand for truth. Stand for right. Don't bow down. Don't back down. Don't cower down. Amen. Just let God take care of it. Sermonette number 3 or wherever I'm at. Amen. And so commanded the second and third and verse number 20 and say, "Moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me." So went the present over before him and himself lodged that night in the company. And he arose up in that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had. And Jacob, verse 24, what's this now? I'm getting to my message. Just hang on. I'm trying to hurriedly get there. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hallow of his thigh. And the hallow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I want to read verse 30 one more time. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel ate not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. That's Genesis chapter 32, hurriedly read all the way through verse number 32. When we're looking at the life of Jacob, let's pray real quickly. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us, Lord, tonight to be in your house. I pray, God, that you'd help me illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay, Lord, tonight. I do pray, and help me, Father, to get the message out, get the point across, Lord, tonight. I pray, God, you'd help us as we come together, Lord, to get an understanding of the precious Word of God and the seriousness, Lord, of this message. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, tonight. May everything that's said be well-pleasing in your sight. We'll thank you, Father, for it. We'll praise you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name, we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As we're looking at Jacob's life, we find that all these things are taking place, and he's worried to death about what's fixing to happen, about the direction that he's going, the direction that God's given him to go in. He's trying to work this thing out in his own mind, and he finds himself there alone. And the Bible says in verse number 24 that he was left alone. And I believe that would be entitled, or I can say this tonight, I'm entitled to say this, that was his secret place. He's left alone there, and the Bible says there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And we find that when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And Jacob began to plead with this one, the angel of the Lord that came to him. And he begins to wrestle with him, and he's praying, and he's dealing with this the situation that's at hand. And the Bible says, and so the angel of the Lord said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he says, "My name is Jacob. Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For God has, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." As we study this passage of Scripture and study these verses, we find that Jacob had prevailed in an all-night prayer meeting with the angel of the Lord. God had already spoken to him and gave him direction in which way he should go. Whenever he told him what to do, whenever God met with him and told him to go back into his land, we find that Jacob had met with God, and God had spoken to Jacob. And in that speaking, in that conversation, what takes place is a confrontation. Jacob is confronted with his sin. Anytime we get alone with God and get an audience with God, I promise you, we will have a confrontation with sin. Amen? We will have a confrontation with ourselves. That's what happened to Jacob. When God spoke to him the first time, there was a confrontation. Jacob began to remember the sins that he committed against his brother. He began to realize that it wasn't about him anymore, but it was about the blessings of the Lord, and it was about living a right life, amen, and doing what was well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so as we find here, as Jacob meets with God, he comes face-to-face with God, and we find that there in verse number 30, that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel because he had been face-to-face with God. And my message tonight is coming face to face with God. There's three things that will happen when you and I come face to face with God. I know this is talking about literally coming face to face with God. No man's ever seen God. Amen. Moses wanted to see God, and God wouldn't allow Moses to see him. He said, "I'll pass by," hit him in the cleft of the rock. Amen. And he passed by. So no man's ever seen God, but this is by faith. Amen. And meeting with God in the prayer room, in the secret place, and it's by faith that we do that. And every time we have a meeting with God, there will be a confrontation. We will realize if there's sin in our life, the Holy Ghost will convict us and show us what sin is in our life. Amen? Why is that so significant? Well, if you try to pray and meet with God and you never find any sin in your life, then there's a good possibility there's something wrong. Amen? Confrontation sounds like a bad thing, but actually it's a good thing. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our wrong, amen, and we have the privilege and the opportunity to make those things right with God, to confess our sin and ask God to help us. And there's many times whenever we have sin in our life, when we have problems in our life, and our self is wrecked and ruined our life, and we try to take matters into our own hands, we've made such a mess of things, people will bring that petition to the Lord, and they'll pray for a few minutes, and then they'll walk away, and they'll carry that burden with them, and they never leave it at the altar. The Bible says that Jacob prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he held on and he wouldn't let go until he got the blessing. Amen. I wonder how many times that you and I have let go and carried that burden for so long of a time. If we'd have just held on and prevailed in our prayer life, that God would have answered and blessed us beyond measure. Hello. Well, as many times that people have brought that petition to the Lord, but yet they prevail not. I'm not saying that you come and you continue. Listen, there's the one widow that continued to worry the judge. Amen. And kept coming and kept coming and kept coming in the New Testament. And finally she got away and said, I'm going to give you what you asked for so you'll leave me alone. It's paraphrasing, but you understand the story. I believe sometimes we give up on God and don't allow God to have time to work in our lives before we've done give up on what we've asked for. Hello, is everybody with me tonight? Jacob, now, the Bible says that he prevailed and he would not let go, amen, until he received the blessing. There we see verse number 26, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Whenever we bring our petitions before the Lord, and I know the Bible teaches about repetitious prayers. Now, let me help you with that tonight if I can. Repetitious prayers is the prayers of those that chant and repeat themselves repeatedly, thinking it's getting them somewhere. There's many that chant the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over. There's many that chant other things over and over, thinking that's religious and thinking that's getting them somewhere. That's repetitious prayer. That's in vain, the Bible says. Amen. And we don't do that. But continuing to prevail in prayer, James talked about that being the fervent, the earnest, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The effective prayer. Amen. The earnest prayer. That's whenever you continue to bring that petition to the Lord and you continue to ask God to direct your path and to answer your prayer. God hears and answers prayer. Amen. How many times did David say, Lord, hear my supplication. Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, incline thine ear unto me and hear the servant's prayer and the servant's plead. David said that many times as he was pleading for God to answer his prayer and to deliver him from his enemies. It took some time. You know the account of David? David ran for his life for years. Saul was trying to take his life. But David continued to plead with God and to prevail in prayer, and God answered those prayers. David succeeded, amen, became king. David's life, David was already promised to be king. God already told him he's going to be king. Amen. But fear got in the way. Fear's not of God, fear's of the devil. Amen. But David did not give up in his prayer life. He continued to pray and he prevailed and God answered his prayer and blessed him. The same thing took place with Jacob. Jacob had realized that it wasn't about him, it was all about the Lord. And his possessions, the things that he had, didn't make no difference. I've worked 20 years. I've got two wives. I've got 11 sons. I've got all this cattle. I've got all this sheep. I've got all these material possessions. And it meant absolutely nothing in the situation he was in. You know why that is? Because it was God's work. It was God that was working on the heart and the life of Esau. And those material possessions had no power when it came to the life of Esau and the relationship between him and his brother. Not only was there confrontation with sin whenever Jacob met face to face with God, but there was also a transformation of character. Whenever you and I meet with God, people can tell we've met with the Lord. When you spend time with God, I'm not talking about just coming to the altar for a minute and running back to your seat. I'm talking about getting that secret place and spend hours upon your face and with your face in the Bible, your face in your hands or whatever you want to put your face in. But listen, just getting along with God and saying, and just pour your heart out to Him and say, God, hear my plea, hear my cry. And I know that many of us have prayed for our lost loved ones. We have loved ones. We have friends. We have relatives. We have those around us that's lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ. And we mention those flash prayers. Lord, save this one. Lord, save that one. And we just go on about our day. When's the last time that we got along with God and prevailed in prayer until God answered our prayer? Amen. I'm not trying to be cruel or critical tonight. I'm just telling you, many folks take it for granted that we have the great privilege to meet with the Jehovah God, the God of the universe, the God that created all things, the great one, the mighty one, the all holy one. We've got the privilege to come before Him in prayer and bring our petitions to the throne of God. And yet we run in and we run out and don't spend time with the Father. You spend time with the Father, you spend time in the throne, there'll be some difference in your character. When God passed by Moses, He come down a-shining, amen? Had a glow about him. You know why He had a glow about him? Because he'd been with God. I wonder how many times we've missed that glow, missed that blessing, because we ran into the prayer room and we ran back out and we didn't spend enough time with God. Wonder why those around us don't want what we have. Maybe it's because we're not glowing like we ought to. Hey man, having a good time tonight, aren't we? Amen. Hey, listen, we don't have a glow about us. If you've been with God, there'll be a difference in your character. Amen. This modernistic crowd that say they've met with God, they've talked with God, those that said they've seen a 900-foot Jesus, have lost their mind. There's nothing different about them. They're just as wicked as they was before they ever said such a thing. Amen. Hey, listen, this modernist crowd don't know what it means to meet with God. To get along with God in the presence of God. If you ever get in there, honey, you'll never get enough of it. Hey man, you'll want to stay there. You'll want to go back there. And you'll find that Jacob many times builds an altar and he goes back to meet with the Lord again. You'll come to the latter part of the chapter 33 or 34, one of those chapters, I forget now which one it is as I was reading through this, we find that that Jacob builds an altar. And he did that because he wanted to meet with the Lord once again. It's the latter part of chapter 33, verse number 19. He brought the parcel, he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent and at the hand of the children of Hamor. And then the Bible says there he bought it for 100 pieces of money and he erected there an altar because he had not had enough of meeting with God. There's a transformation that takes place as we look at Joseph's life. He walked with a limp. There was obviously something that took place whenever he prevailed in prayer and it changed his character. There was a new day for Jacob. Jacob had a new name. Jacob had a new walk. Whoop! You meet with God, amen. There's a new name written down in glory, amen. You have a new walk. You have a new talk. There's a difference when you meet with God. The word Jacob in the Hebrew, the name Israel, meant prevailing with God. Jacob's name was changed to Israel because he had prevailed with God. Let me say this limp that Jacob had, it made him better. Preacher, how in the world could that make him better? He's got a limp now. He didn't used to walk with a limp, but now he's got a limp. How in the world did that make him better? Because it humbled him. Helped him to realize it wasn't how he done it, but how God wanted it done. Amen. It humbled him before the Lord. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And Paul prayed several times that the Lord remove this thorn from my flesh. But yet God didn't remove it. You know why God didn't remove it? Because it reminded him that he needed God. Hello, aren't we having a good time tonight? Come face to face with God. When you meet alone with God, not with a crowd up, I'm talking about you yourself in your secret place. You meet alone with God. There's a confrontation with your sin. I myself, when I get in my secret place, I can talk about this because I know I'm there. Amen. I'm the only one there that's with the Lord. Every time I meet with the Lord in the secret place, I can't help but confess my sin. And I think about the verse of Scripture that says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And I've heard some Cracker Jacks say that sin is not for the believer. We don't have to pray that. But I myself, when I get along with God and get an audience with God, I can't help but confess. That's because I'm a sinner, amen. I was born a sinner, I'm living a sinner, and I'll always be a sinner until that great day when the Lord changes my outer body, amen. This mortal become, this corruption become incorruptible, amen. There's a great day coming whenever I won't have to confess my sin. But until then I do. Amen. There's a confrontation and then there's a transformation. Whenever you've been alone with God, people know that. Your family knows that you've been alone with God. Your co-workers know if you've been alone with God. Well, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that lady. I wonder why they come to us a lot of times and ask us, would you pray for me? You ever had that happen? I didn't say nothing about church. I ain't say nothing about praying. How'd they know to come and ask me that? Because you've been with God. They can tell a difference. Amen. There's a difference when you've been with God. Then let me say this. Not only is there a confrontation and a transformation, but there's an exaltation. Jacob found something. This is the point of my message, so hang in there with me. Don't let me lose you. There's now a new relationship with God. Now Jacob has already met with God. God has already met with him several times and God has given him instruction and he's wrestled all night long and he's now walking with a limp. He's met with God. But now in Jacob's life there is a new relationship. There's been a change in that relationship that Jacob had with God to the relationship that he now has with God. Because he came face to face with God. And he dealt with this issue that he was dealing with of his sorry, rotten flesh in itself, amen. But let me share this with you. The Bible says that he named that place in verse number 30. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. We find the preservation of Jacob, amen. If you're saved tonight, guess what? You've been preserved. Whoop, goes right there. You've been preserved. So there's a difference in your relationship with God. Amen. Jacob was led beyond the power and beyond the presence of God. Jacob knew of the power of God. He'd heard of Abraham and Isaac and what God had done. He knew of the power of God. He'd seen God work miracles and do great things. He knew of the presence of God because he'd been in it. He'd met with God. But now he's moved beyond that. It's a spiritual ladder, if you will. Amen. There's many people that whenever they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're on the bottom run. But as they progress and as they read their Bible and as they pray and God answers and that faith increases from day to day, they begin to be more spiritual. And Jacob finds himself now at a different level. He's moved into a different relationship with God. Not only is he aware of the presence of God, not only is he aware of the power of God, and most of us can say we're aware of those things. We've heard of that. Some of us may have experienced a little bit of it. But Jacob has moved from that power, that presence of God, into a new divine fellowship and favor and friendship with God. Oh, yay. Do you understand the fellowship with a Savior? Do you understand the fellowship with an Almighty God? Do you understand tonight that you and I, once we prevail in prayer with God and we come face to face with the Almighty, that we now have a different fellowship? We're not just kinsmen. Amen? He is our Father. And the Bible says that we cry, Abba, Father. That's like saying, Daddy. There's a different relationship. There's a different fellowship. He's moved now into this divine fellowship, this divine friendship, and divine favor with God. Once was a preacher years ago that preached the message on, I'm a pet dog. And he talked about different kinds of dogs, but he related that to being a pet dog. That pet dog gets to stay in the house. That pet dog gets all the good cookies. We got one of them. He gets all the good cookies. Listen, I don't want to run off on a rabbit, but they got cookies out now. Looks like stinking Oreos, smell like Oreos, and they're doggy cookies. I've been threatening to eat them things. Them things smell good. He's a pet dog. He gets the good stuff, and I get those Chips Ahoy stuff that crumbled in the bucket. Amen. But he's a pet dog. But hey, listen, that's a different position that dog has at the home. Amen. He's a pet dog. He gets the best of the best. And you and I, with the Savior, with God of heaven, amen, we're not a pet dog. We're the children of God. We've been adopted into the family. Do you realize that those that get adopted have more privileges than those that are heir or those that are the children. What's that word I'm looking for? Non-adopted children. The children of God, amen, is the children of Israel. Amen. We know that that's God's chosen generation, but we're joint heirs. We've been grafted in. And those that are grafted in have more privileges than those that are heirs or those that are the child of God. And so now that we find that the exhortation that we have here is the new relationship that Jacob has since he came face to face with God. The psalmist said in Psalms 16, verse number 8, I have set the Lord always before me. I have a divine friendship. Whenever you see me by myself, rest assured I'm not alone. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is with me. Whenever you see me by myself, I'm not alone. Amen. I walk not alone. The psalmist also said in Psalms 116, verse number 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. I commune with Him. I have a divine fellowship. I have a divine friendship. And I have divine favor with the God of heaven. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just a wonderful thing? The English language doesn't allow me to explain it much better than that. It's a wonderful thing. I have divine favor with God. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, walk worthy. Walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom. But what does that mean, preacher? That simply means don't follow in Jacob's footsteps. Jacob tried to make this thing work out the way he wanted it to work out. He tried to offer all these material possessions. And none of those things were worth anything. The greatest thing Jacob finds in this account is whenever he just let God take control. Let God take control of the situation. And that's exactly what God did. As we continue reading, we find that the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 33, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children with Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost, and he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his border. Now watch your Bibles. Jacob is scared to death of the outcome. What God has told him to do, he's worried to death, and he's tried everything he could to appease his brother Esau, who he sure is mad at him. He's sure he's going to take his life for what he's done. And the Bible says in verse number 4, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Only God could orchestrate such a thing. Only God could put such a thing together. The results of that, I believe, is because Jacob prevailed with God and he finally resisted himself and just let God take control. God was already working on the other side. God was already working on the heart of Esau. And they came to meet, and the Bible says Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, whose are those with thee? And he said, these children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, and they and their children, they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near, and they bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. I don't need your stuff. Keep that which thou hast in thyself. I've got more than enough. Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I find grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. He said, let us take our journey, let us go, and I will go before thee. He said to him, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds are young and young with me. And if the men should overdrive them one day, all the flock would die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant. And I will lead on softly according to the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord and to see her." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me." And see, Jacob was trying to give him all these things, and Esau, "No, let me leave some folks with you. Let me leave some of my folks with your folks that's with child and some that's not able to make it in case you need some help." And so God knitted the hearts of those two men together. God was already working on Esau's heart, and Jacob was worried to death about what Esau was going to do to him. And God has already had this thing planned out if he'd have just obeyed God. Sometimes I believe you and I stress ourselves and put more on ourselves and make our burdens harder and worse than what they should be because we won't leave things alone. We stress over it. We worry over it. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. We stress over it. We worry over it. We make it out to be worse than what it is. And I myself have found myself in life many times when things that I have to face something and I stress over it and I worry about it, and I find once I get to that place and have to deal with it, it's not nowhere near what I made it out to be. Sometimes it'd do us good if we just meet with God. Just keep those petitions before the Lord. Get alone in our secret place and get alone with Him and come face to face with God. Say, "Lord, here's my prayer. Here's my petition. Here's my request." And if you don't get an answer at that time, don't quit. Continue to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer availeth much. Continue to pray. Continue to bring it before the Lord. That's not repetitious praying. Repetitious praying is those chants that people do to try to impress God. We're not out to try to impress God. We're pleading with God. There's a difference. Amen. Whenever you get in your secret place and you're pleading with God to answer a prayer, to move upon your life, to move in someone else's life, to save that lost individual, that lost family member, and you're pleading. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, and so therefore your prayer is not in vain when you're praying for someone who's lost. Continue to call that name. Continue to plead with God. Now, we talk about people that has health problems and health issues, and we pray, and God does at times answer those prayers. Amen? He does answer those prayers, and we do prevail in prayer. And whenever we do and God answers prayer, we rejoice together. Amen? God has answered my prayer. And Jacob says to Esau, "God was gracious unto me." Why was he gracious? Because when we met Esau, Esau didn't take his life. And he was rejoicing because of the greatness of God and the things that God did. And we find there that he built an altar later on because he still wanted to be in the presence of God, because God blesses his children. And the thing that you and I need to understand in the days coming, in the days ahead, is that we continue to find ourselves in a place where we're face to face with God. Don't ever think that God's not interested in your situation. God's interested. Amen. We look in the New Testament, we find that the fragments that were taken up after all those 5,000, not counting women and children, those 5,000 that was fed, and the Bible said there was fragments left over. There was baskets, 12 baskets of fragments left over, and they took those up. You know why they did? Because God's interested in the little things. God's interested in the little things in your life, in my life. Amen. I hope this message has been an encouragement to you tonight. Find you a place. Jacob found him a place and he was alone with God. Get you a place. Throw the cell phone out the door. Amen. Cut the TV off. Cut the news off. Lock the doors. Turn the lights off. Park your car down the road so nobody even know you're home if you have to do such a thing. Or pull the garage door down. Get alone with God and spend some time with him. One of the greatest things I find in Bible school that helped me the most is my Bible teacher told me to take a bottle of water and a blanket and my Bible and get along with God. And he says, "Son, you stay there until God talks with you." And I'd never been told that. I never understood it until I got in that place. Whoop! And I got along with God. And God began to feed me. And I'm telling you, it was such a blessing. I've never been ashamed of being alone with God. I desire to be there. Let me give you this real quickly. I'm going to share. This is just something that happened in my life. I was in Bible class, Bible school, and my pastor came to me and he said, I'm going to give each one of you guys, we had four or five of us in class. He said, I'm going to give each one of you a chapter of the Bible. And I want you to take that chapter and I want you to get along with God and let God give you an outline of that chapter. And lo and behold, I was scared to death. I thought, boy, I'm going to fail this class. I'm going to fail. I don't know how to do that. I've never made an outline for the whole chapter of the Bible. He said, you go verse by verse and you outline that and you get along with God and let God give you that. And then you turn that in. You got 2 weeks to do it. The only thing I knew was how to get along with God and pray. I took my Bible and I went in there to that chapter and I said, God, you know what I've got to do. And I've got to turn this into my pastor. He's my spiritual leader. Hell, I'm sure he's not leading me astray. And I began to pray and God began to illuminate those scriptures. I mean, it come off the page like I'd never seen it before. Page after I run out of ink. I mean, I was writing as fast as I could write and God just kept giving it to me and I just kept writing. I mean, I'm telling you, you just got to get along with God to experience what I'm talking. If you ain't never experienced that, you have no clue what I'm talking about. And I took that paper back to my pastor and I turned it in and he had another pastor that was working with him as they was teaching that class, those young preacher boys, and they looked at each other and they was looking at my paper and looking at each other. I thought, oh Lord, I've made such a mess. They're probably thinking I'm crazy as a road lizard. There's no telling what those men are thinking. And I was ready to crumble in my seat. But I know that God gave me what I wrote down. And so I was trying to reason within myself. Those men looked at me and said, Preacher Harry, would you come here to the front of the class? I said, I guess. And they brought me up before the whole class and said, men, this is what it's all about. This is what we wanted. All the other papers failed. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on God. God gave me what I needed and I was able to pin those things down. They said, this is getting along with God and getting a outline. Said, we've never read anything like this. They said, where did you get this from? I promise you, preacher, it didn't come from a commentary nowhere. They said, we know, we've searched. And we couldn't find anything that you written down that come from any commentary in any books that we've ever read. I said, it didn't come from a commentary. It come from headquarters. Straight from the Lord. I've never gotten over those days. Getting along with God. Now, I'm not telling you to get an outline and write an outline of any chapter of the Bible. If you want to, that's good experience. But I am telling you to get your Bible and get along with God. And let Him speak to your heart. Come face to face with God. Let Him do something in your life that you've not experienced. And if you have experienced, let Him do something that you haven't experienced lately in your life. Let Him do it again. Let Him stir up inside of you that love, that passion for the Lord. You and I as believers have a divine fellowship. A divine relationship. Hallelujah. We have favor with God. We have a friendship with the Almighty. Let Him speak to you. Amen. And when He does, as the psalmist says, hear His voice. Listen to Him. When was the last time He spoke to you personally? Find that secret place and get along with God. That's your homework for the week. Amen. Find that secret place. Preacher, I don't have a place. Find you one. Make you one. Amen. What kind of place does it need to be? A quiet place? A place of solitude where it's just you, your Bible, and God. I suggest taking a bottle of water with you or something to drink because you might be there a while. Amen. And just meet with God. Say, God, I need you. You begin to confess those sins. Let God speak to your heart. I promise you, you'll come out a changed individual. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us.